Thanks for listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. The University of Illinois system, including its Urbana, Springfield, and Chicago campuses, will welcome back tens of thousands of students this fall for a mix of in-person and online instruction. The news came in an announcement last week, just days after the U of I at Urbana announced they would begin using a saliva COVID-19 test on more than 50,000 students returning to campus. Although colleges and universities across the state have issued some guidance about how the school year will look, many students, professors, and parents still have questions about how things are going to play out this fall. We reached out to three students here in Illinois who are trying to figure out what this school year will look like for them.
This is Jesse. I'm a graduate student at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
I am Rohan Agarwal from India, and I study at University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
My name is Diego Vigueras, and I'm an international student from Mexico living in Chicago.
Given the option, I will opt to take my classes online. I think if students can continue learning remotely, they should.
I'm honestly scared of how damaging this pandemic is. I have no family in the US, and there is a high chance that there will be a second wave in the fall. So if I do come back to campus and it hits, I would be unable to return back to my family. That would be really taxing to me emotionally. Even though we have a testing policy in place, we cannot guarantee 100% that everyone would adhere to the norms. For example, we cannot say for sure that everyone will wear masks and everyone will sanitize their hands regularly.
I know and understand that the situation changes every day and that our professors and school are doing what they can to give us what we are paying for. As a cinematography student, I need to use the Paul video and lighting equipment, and I wouldn't mind the mandatory use of masks and gloves to use the equipment. But if we have to take classes online again in the fall, I think I will take a free quarter, as I don't see the point of paying tuition if we're not able to access the equipment.
I think that personally for me, I would rather prevent myself from putting myself out there at risk and continue my next semester online.
I would rather modify my educational experience than risk getting myself or anyone else sick. It isn't worth it.
All right, so some student perspectives there. For more on this, I'm joined now by WBEZ education reporter Kate McGee. Kate, welcome back to The 21st.
Happy to be here.
I'd also like to introduce Christy Barnwell. She's Associate Professor of History at the University of Illinois Springfield. She's also President of the Professors Labor Union there, UIS United Faculty. She's also a family friend. Christy, thank you for being here.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So, and we want to ask our listeners, if you are maybe the parent of a college student or a student yourself, what are your concerns about the upcoming school year? You can join the conversation by giving us a call, 800-222-9455. Christy, I want to begin with you. Before we look ahead to the coming school year, I wonder if you could share what this past spring was like for you and other members of the faculty at UIS.
It was a really fast turnaround for us to move remotely. And I know from my experience and from talking to colleagues, it created a lot of difficulty at home. People who had to teach their classes and who have children at home or were sharing internet with their partners. And for our students, it really created a lot of upheaval for them to have to move out of the dorms mid-semester to figure out our international students how to get home. And we had a lot of students who just didn't have access to the kind of technology they needed. I think we all did a really good job of making do the best we could. And I think the students who made it through and the faculty who all made it through sort of felt like they came through it together and felt good about that. But it was definitely a difficult transition for everyone.
And Christy, what has the University of Illinois Springfield said about specific plans to reopen and reengage with students on campus this fall?
So each campus is making its own plan under this larger umbrella of the system. And UIS has not released a full plan. They're sort of putting out a little bit of information. We've made some initial adjustments, like all classes will be remote after Thanksgiving, so that if there's a spike in the fall, no matter what, students will be home. They won't be coming back and forth at this particularly dangerous incubation time. And that's been a great move, but we're still waiting on a lot of details from the administration about, you know, what it's gonna look like with testing, what kind of options are available for remote teaching, remote learning, those kinds of things.
Kate, I wanna bring you into the conversation. What sort of safety measures are other public universities in Illinois saying that they're going to be taking this fall?
So a lot of schools are basically trying to show students and faculty that they're trying to be as flexible as possible. And they're saying that they're planning for some sort of mixture of in-person and online classes. A lot of the policies that we're seeing as restaurants and stores reopen will apply to public spaces on campuses too. You know, in-person classes would need to have students spaced out 6 feet. Everyone's going to be provided a mask that they need to wear in class. At least the U of I says they'll be providing students with masks. Schools will have to figure out things like safety patterns in buildings so people can walk around without congregating in hallways. There's going to be hand sanitizer stations. And, you know, the U of I has said at least that they're going to require testing. Other schools haven't really been as specific as what their testing requirements are going to be and how that's going to happen. You know, the state came out with guidance for higher education institutions and community colleges. But many people see these as kind of a first step. You know, there hasn't been a lot of specific details on how things would happen, if all students would even be allowed to return to campus, especially at a school like U of I Urbana-Champaign, where you have 50,000 students coming back. How would that, all of these things work with so many students on campus? And so I think schools want to signal to students, you know, hey, we're really thinking about this. We want to try and get back to quote unquote normal as quickly as we can, but we're also thinking about the health and safety implications that are coming along with it. And that's, you know, some of the details are still being waiting. We're waiting to kind of see.
Yeah. I think back to my own college experience and I can't imagine trying to keep 6 feet apart from people all the time, just because of the sheer number of people that congregate on campuses. Kate, we talked about this on the show earlier this week on Monday, but I wonder if you can remind us and tell us a little bit more about the saliva testing that the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign is planning to use.
Right. So basically, you know, they've developed this test. Basically, they need something that's scalable for a community the size of U of I with a huge population of students that can also be tested quickly and continuously throughout a semester. And saliva makes that much easier than the tests that many people have been using, you know, that goes way up your nose. That just requires more equipment and time. And so the saliva test would be much easier to do for a large campus like U of I. And U of I is planning to set up about 20 testing sites around campus where students could get tested as easily as like in between their classes or going from a dining hall to pick up a meal and going back to their dorm, and a place where students could get randomly tested too. They've attached these results to the on-campus university app that they have for phones that they launched last year, so students can get results on their phones. And they've even set up something on their app where students, if they wanted to opt in, could get alerted based on location if they've been exposed to students who have tested positive based on where they've been on campus. And so they're hoping that the saliva test, which at least one study says could be more sensitive to testing COVID, could be used to kind of have the kind of increased and continuous kind of testing that a school of this scale and size would need to be open for the fall.
Interesting. Yeah. Trying to imagine what it would be like getting that text message that says you might have been exposed.
I know.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The 21st. I've been speaking with WBEZ education reporter Kate McGee and University of Illinois Springfield professor Christy Barnwell about what we might expect as colleges open their campuses back up this fall. Also want to remind our listeners, you can join our new texting initiative. It's called Text the 21st. You can join by texting the word talk to 217-803-0730. This week we asked the group, would you feel comfortable attending or your child attending in-person classes this upcoming fall? We're going to hear some of those answers a little later in the conversation. Also want to remind, if you're listening now, you can give us a call with your questions, 800-222-9455. Phone lines are open at 800-222-9455. Christy, although as we're hearing, there is some guidance in terms of how campus will look, do you still feel ambiguity from some of your students about coming back to campus this fall? I imagine you're still trying to figure out what your own day-to-day is going to look like, making lesson plans, that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, I haven't heard as much from students. We're on summer break, and so they're taking a break from me as much as I'm taking a break from them, I suppose.
Fair enough.
But I have been hearing a lot from faculty who are really worried about the practicalities of what it means. We want students to be on campus. Sometimes our students are safer on campus than they are at home, for example. And they have more access to resources, internet, those kinds of things to get their schoolwork done. But faculty, you know, who are in the classroom, we are a small institution and we're meant to have small classes with close face-to-face interaction between faculty and students, which is one of our great selling points, right? It's one of the best things that we do. But the reality is that our classrooms are tiny and we can't socially distance 25 students in a classroom. We just don't have the space to do that. So, you know, the logistics of how we can get 30 students into a classroom and teach that class just don't make sense. And as Kate was talking about sort of these paths, these safety patterns within buildings, some of the hallways aren't even 6 feet wide, so we can't have traffic going two different directions. It's really just sort of the day-to-day operations. Those kinds of details make faculty nervous about what it means to be in the classroom and what that could look like. You know, and what happens if a student has to self-isolate and they're out of class for 2 weeks? How do we sort of meet the needs of students in the class? And how do we meet the students' needs who are sort of stuck in the dorm room waiting to find out if they're going to be okay? It becomes really a lot of planning on our part that is sort of, many of us are just not sure what this could possibly look like in a face-to-face setting.
Okay, so I think the bottom line here is that we're seeing, Kate, public confidence from universities, but like we just heard from Christy, we're hearing this sort of private skepticism among some of the faculty. And I wonder, I think, you know, probably from the university standpoint, one imagines this comes down to financial pressures under that universities are under to reopen. And I wonder, Kate, if you can talk a little bit about what kind of effect COVID-19 has had on university finances.
Yes, I mean, you know, both public and private universities took a big hit when they had to reimburse tens of millions of dollars to students for housing and dining hall refunds last semester when students were sent home, plus other revenue from events or on-campus activities that no longer happened. You know, U of I last month said they expected a $160 million hit in revenue just from the pandemic in the past, you know, few months. And even private universities are struggling too. We're seeing private universities in Chicago, Northwestern is furloughed and is cutting staff. And universities are trying to find ways to shrink those expenditures. I think, you know, it would be very tough to repeat that kind of situation for another semester in many of these schools. And in, you know, these smaller college towns too, it's tough for local economies there when you don't have students there, you know, living their lives like you normally do. A recent report from the Brookings Institute that came out recently found that regional public universities, the smaller universities like Chicago State or Northern Illinois or Southern Illinois, those are likely to actually fare the worst out of this rather than U of I, the flagship. You know, those schools don't have as large endowments to fall back on. They're serving larger populations of low-income students who are going to likely need more financial aid to return in the fall semester. Tuition increases aren't really possible in those situations. So there's a lot of concern about what the outlook is, not even this year, but in future years for those smaller public universities. You know, the state budget kept funding for higher ed consistent the same as last year. I think a lot of public universities breathed a kind of a sigh of relief seeing that money continue rather than seeing cuts immediately. But there's still a lot of uncertainty. And so they're really dependent on students showing up in the fall for classes, whether that's online or in person, and they need to kind of show that they're doing as much as they can so that the students decide to come back and enroll.
And of course, that state budget sort of dependent on federal, not sort of, but definitely dependent on federal funding coming through, which has not been forthcoming yet. Kate, just like maybe in a minute, because we're a little short on time here, but we heard from Rowan at the beginning of this segment. He's concerned about everyone adhering to social distancing guidelines. We also heard from one of our listeners. I mentioned the text, the 21st Initiative. They said, our current rates are still not declining enough to warrant that, as in on-person, on-campus instruction. Combine that with some people's sense of invincibility ability, and it may be a sad situation. So Kate, again, in less than a minute, many parts of the campus experience, like social, you know, socialization, parties, mealtime and dining halls, extracurriculars, they revolve around this close contact, often indoors. Do we have a sense of how life outside the classroom will be handled by universities?
You know, initial guidance says that universities are planning to limit occupancy to like dining halls and residence halls, to even do to-go meals or reduce the number of students who are in a dorm, rather one student per room rather than two. So there's some initial guidance there, but there's still, as we've been saying before, more details need to be revealed about how this would work on a day-to-day logistical setting. I think the bigger questions are those parties or what's happening off campus. You know, how can a school really address if there's a party of 100 people right. at an off-campus house? You know, right. what happens then?
And Christy, last question to you. And again, we've only got about 30 seconds, but we had a response from a listener through our text, the 21st Initiative. They said, I remain convinced that effective treatment methods should be at least as important as developing a vaccine, but they also believe in-person attendance at college is vital. And I wonder if part of you, despite your concerns, is eager to have students back on campus and get back into the classroom if it can be done safely.
All of us really love teaching our students and really love interacting with our students. But I think one of the things we discovered in the spring is just how resilient our students are and just how much we could make deep connections with our students even through online remote learning. We had really good, in my classes, we had great conversations, sometimes more in depth than we were able to have in the classroom because sort of the pause made us think a little bit more about how we connected to one another. So I'm not so sure that a semester of remote learning would actually hinder people, their educational quality that much. I remain optimistic.
Christy Barnwell is an associate professor of history at the University of Illinois Springfield. We also spoke with Kate McGee, education reporter at WBEZ Public Radio in Chicago. Thank you both for speaking with me this morning.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Brian.
You are listening to The 21st. Coming up, summer songs. Stay with us. More to come after a short break.